Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers. Here with your Vanderpump Rules after show recap. I know I'm a little late this week because in the past I've been, you know, getting these Vanderpump Rules recaps. Well, I guess not every time. The first few weeks I did it, you know, took me a little bit to get them out, but then the last couple weeks I've gotten them out faster. So I'm like, okay, I guess people are kind of expecting it, but you know, this week was just crazy. But here we are. And I'm going to save the Vanderpump Rules for the news episode because there's a lot. And I just can't do like a 5-hour episode right now. So let's get into the reunion part two after show. And then I'm recording my news right after this. And it will be up first thing Monday morning. And there is a, I don't know how else to say it. There's a shit ton of Vanderpump Rules news. There's some good Valley stuff too. So make sure you listen to that as well. Also, for those of you that are Housewives people, there's some interesting tea from Housewives worlds as well. This was a good news week. All right. I just want to give my overall thoughts on the reunion part two. First of all, it was kind of boring. Two-part reunions are okay, guys. I don't know if the producers know that. Now, I get it. You know, they have ads. They, you know, this is such a highly rated show right now that they're going to get as much ad money as they possibly can. And they, you know, you got to do it while the show's hot. And the show's not going to have these types of ratings forever. Okay, so I get it. I understand. That being said, that's fine, but this part of the reunion was boring. It just was. One thing though that, I mean, this didn't make it exciting, it just gave me a major ick, was Tom Sandoval. And I know you're like, well, duh, but okay, something specific. He keeps making these nasty, like, sex jokes that are, you know, I don't know. Like, he's like just trying to be crude and crass, and he's not funny. Like, he's never been funny. He's never been like the funny one who's had like funny one-liners. He's not like quick and clever and witty. He's just not, you know, like, and that's okay. Not everybody is, right? But like, that's never been his role on the show. Even before Scandoval and before he was hated, he just wasn't that. Like, people liked, like, when he was liked, people liked him and Tom's dynamic. Okay, and I think they liked him with Ariana. Like, he was always part of, like, you know what I mean, like a duo. He was never that likable on his own. And on top of that, I think he was liked for like costumes and being like kind of, you know, extra, you know, like all his like grooming and manscaping and all that kind of stuff. Like, I think that was like part of his whole shtick. But it's like he's trying to like be like light and funny, and he's trying too hard, and it's extremely cringe. And it's also just like, ugh. Like, it's just like, I woke up with lockjaw and 2 weeks later I shit out a condom. Like, it's not funny. It's just not funny. It's just stupid. And you're trying too hard. And it's really, I don't know. And it was more than once. There was another one and I can't remember what the joke was, but it was just not good. And like his delivery isn't good. It's just like everything about it. It was just so cringe. I just can't. He's not likable. He's just not likable. Like if anyone out there is listening who has anything to do with creating Vanderpump Rules, he's not, there is no way to make this man likable. It's done. Like I, to quote Heather Dubrow, when everyone says you're dead, it's time to lie down. Like it's just, it's over. He's not, they're not going to make him likable again, you know? So anyways, let's go to the first topic, which is, that is honestly my overall thought, because there's really nothing else I can say about the episode that is not going to come up in the after show already, or is stuff that I haven't already said 19,000 times. Okay. So that's just it. Okay. Okay, so fine. I'll say one more thing that I have said, but I'll say it again anyways. The biggest loser at this reunion, despite everything, was still Lala, which is, that's tough to do. Like when you're on the stage with Schwartz, Brock, Sandoval, Joe, and you still come out the biggest loser. Yeah, it's not good. Like that fight she had with Ariana, it was embarrassing. Like she just, it's either she's just so bullheaded and just is so desperate to stay on television and make her side of the argument happen. Or there is another option, which is that she's just so incapable of processing critical thinking and logic. I don't know which one of those two options Lala wants. They're both bad options for her. Like she just did not come out looking good. Okay. So the first topic that comes up is Katie and Tom. I don't know why this is here and this is a question. I think it's because there's not really an after show for the reunion. Like the after show was filmed before the reunion. And what they're doing is they're taking clips from the after show that like somewhat relate to what's talked about in each reunion episode. And they're just like splicing them all together. Right. And the reason they're doing that is because they, again, it's just about getting clicks on the website, making money, you know, just the same reason we have a reunion part two when we really don't need one. So this doesn't even really make sense to this part of the reunion. I guess they put it in because we talked about like Joe and Schwartz's relationship and Katie's thoughts on it, whatever. So the producer asked them, is there, you know, ever a possibility that Katie and Tom might get back together? Kristen and Sheena say they could see it, but only if it was Katie that wanted it, because Tom would jump right on it. But they said that's never going to happen. Basically, Katie has too much self-respect. James and Brock say no. And James is like, why would she? Like, Katie is her best self without him, which, accurate. Schwartz says what they had, you know, it wasn't always easy, but they did have some good times. But he said at this point, no, he's, no offense to Katie, he's just moved on and there's no chance. And again, that's the answer I expected to hear, right? Like he's got a girlfriend now. They both seem like, yeah, they like to like mess with each other's heads and like do some light flirting. But I think they both know, and Schwartz even said this, like they would just, they'd be running a timer countdown to the first fight. And then they'd both be like, what are we doing? Right. Katie says no, again, like we expect. She says, you know, he did a lot of damage to her and she's worked hard to heal that. So, you know, why would she get back together with someone who hasn't done any work on himself? She says she would love for him to go to therapy and stop and take a look at the people in his life and make realizations about them. You know, and then she says, example, Sandoval, who is poison to him, which is absolutely true, but that's not going to happen. Sandoval, because men never think they need therapy, right? Sandoval and Sheena's friendship is the next topic. And basically, Sheena's so predictable. Like, she's like, I feel like we took one step forward, but then 20 steps back. And she says she felt like she had, you know, breakthrough moments with him, but then his actions always contradicted all of his words. Yeah, Sheena, that's what Ariana and everybody else on this planet is trying to tell you. You have to stop. Like, whatever he says is pointless. There, remember that saying? I don't know if you were like away from school that day when they taught that. Actions speak louder than words. Come on, you've seen it. It's always, it's, you know, it gets posted on Instagram and social media, so you must have seen it. So it's like, girl, whatever he says means nothing. What is he doing? And it's like she refuses to understand this simple concept, right? She's like, his actions always contradict his words. And it's like she's still shocked. And I'm like, girl, this is why no one feels bad for you. This is why. So Lala says, you know, it's like the quote, when someone shows you who they are, believe them, which I was surprised to hear Lala saying that, because that kind of contradicts how Lala was acting during the season when it comes to Sandoval. But I guess, I mean, we all know the way she was acting towards Sandoval was just because she was playing producer puppet. It has nothing to do with like how she actually feels about Sandoval. Like, I actually think Lala feels the exact same way about Sandoval that she always did, to be honest. I think she just will literally sell her soul to keep this show going and keep the paycheck coming. Lala says she believes that quote. She's like, so, you know, he needs to stop saying he's working on himself and show like some action or like do something, which that's never going to happen. It's just never, ever, ever going to happen. So Lala says, if after all this and everything that's happened, and he's had literally the entire world, well, not literally, but he's had the entire world telling him what he needs to do to make it better, and he still can't do it, then it's not going to happen. So Lala says that, you know, all the interviews he's done, the podcasts, the everything, he's still showing that he has narcissistic tendencies, and that basically anyone who's going to be friends with him, have a relationship with him, they have to make a line and not cross it. Janet says, because they still have interviews with the Valley people sprinkled in here. So Janet says he still hasn't expressed any genuine remorse, and that, you know, she does know him from outside of the show with their group of friends, and she's never seen any like real, I don't know, like moment of feeling bad, basically. And she's like, you know, if he would just show some remorse, people would be much more likely to let him in. Yes, we've said this 1,000 times. James says he's always acted like he's the leader of the pact and that he has like the best or highest morals of all of them, which is so true. Like, if you go back through all the seasons, he still does that. Wait till this after show. I have a quote where he does that. But then, you know, James is like, but then he does this and he can't show any responsibility and just continues bringing up the past. So, you know, and then James goes on and on getting all riled up about how Tom keeps bringing up him and Kristen. And he's like, when I slept with Kristen, I'd only known Tom for 6 months. Listen, James, you don't have to justify it. James also was single and so was Kristen. And her and Tom were not together when James showed up. Sorry. He'd already left her and was with Ariana. So, like, him bringing that up, not only is it stupid because it was 10 years ago, but on top of that, James is 100% right here. He'd known Tom for 6 goddamn months. He was 21 years old. If I recall, he was, like, supporting his whole family because his parents are a hot goddamn mess. Both his parents, on top of that, are, you know, they're addicts. They were struggling with that. They had no money. Yeah, he's going to do whatever he can to get on this show, including sleep with Kristen Doty. He was successful. So then Tom says so they go to Tom Sandoval and he says he's really got a way when it comes to like fucking up lately. And then he like laughs it off and he names like, you know, I went on vacation. I did that tiger thing. And then he laughs and he's like, you know, now I've done three things, so maybe I'm in the clear. So if you don't remember, he went on like a trip. I can't remember where. And he did one of those things where you take a picture with a tiger and the tiger's like puts its paws like on your shoulders or head. I can't remember. Anyways, and these are like places where are known to be like cruel to animals and to like use them for amusement in these ways. And people are like, you should know better. And like people were not happy, obviously. And Lala called him out for that too on her Instagram because she's a big animal rights supporter. So that's what he's referring to. Just in case you didn't, you know, just in case you didn't know about that somehow and needed another reason to dislike Tom Sandoval. There you go. Okay, so we're always looking for new reasons, aren't we? Actually, I don't even need any more. I've got a novel full of them. So is Katie justified in her reaction to Joe is the next topic, which I hate that we're asking men this question. Like, I don't understand why I need Sandoval and Schwartz's opinion. I mean, I get it. It's because this is Vanderpump Rules and they want everyone to be in some sort of drama at all times. So they're going to ask everyone's opinions on everything. But anyways, Sandoval says Katie's reactions are never on par with the quote unquote crime. And Schwartz agrees. That's because you two are always the criminals. Okay. Of course you are going to say that because you don't want to face any sort of consequences or punishment. And when you do, you have temper tantrums about how unfair the world is and how the mean, mean women are so mean to you because you're just poor little boys who don't know any better. Of course the criminals think the consequences are too harsh. They don't want to go to jail. Like, give me a fucking break. Okay, so anyways, they agree. Sandoval says she's literally like enjoys watching people suffer. And that's the definition of evil. Okay, sir. The definition of evil, I mean, it's somewhat subjective. One thing that I would say is that saying things, it can be evil. You can say things that are mean and cruel, yes. But actions, doing them is far worse, right? That's why, you know, if you say, oh my God, I'm so mad at him, I could kill him, you don't actually get arrested for attempted murder or for like conspiracy to commit murder, okay? But if you actually do it, then yeah, you'll get arrested, right? So here's the thing with Sandoval is like every example he has of Katie is just things that she has said. And most of them are flippant or they're just like she was angry in the moment and she said something she was pissed off, like I'll light you both on fire or whatever. But he has no examples of actions. Neither of them do. It's so funny. Like neither of them have any examples ever. Anyways, but Sandoval on the other, I mean, personally, I don't know about everybody else. I personally would consider dressing up as your mistress for Halloween to be evil and parading it right in front of the woman that you're cheating on. I would consider that evil. I would also consider it evil to get your best friend to make out with your mistress on camera to, you know, to distract and to kind of get rid of the suspicion that may be on you because you're cheating. I think that's pretty evil, even though you know it's going to really hurt his recent ex-wife's feelings. And you know it's going to fuck up his relationship with his ex-wife that he's working hard on keeping together and having it be amicable. Those, I think, are evil. Okay? Okay, so Schwartz says, you know, she doesn't actually want that. Well, thank you for having some common sense, Schwartz. Yes, she's not literally burning anyone, okay? And Sandoval actually pushes back. And he's like, yeah, but she said she wants to see them burn or something. But has she? I haven't seen Katie be suspected of arson yet. So I think we're good, okay? Little Tom Sandoval. Okay, Schwartz says she will, you know, she does, you know, thrive on people's downfalls and she's vindictive. Okay, whatever. Like, so she was happy when Tom Sandoval got busted for cheating. Yeah, I think a lot of people were. Again, the perpetrators, the two Toms, they don't like anyone who is right about them, of course. And they don't like when somebody's like, told you so. Because she probably, to Schwartz, was like, told you so. This guy's bad for you. Look what he's now done. And this, how this has impacted your business. And he probably takes that as like, oh, Katie's gloating. No, I think she's trying to get you away from him. And you're still not listening. So have fun just increasingly becoming poorer and less attractive over the next 50 years and fading into obscurity, because that's the road you're on. Okay. So basically Schwartz. Okay. So then they get more into like the specifics of Joe. Katie says she didn't like the way Joe treated Kristen. So it actually started with that. Less about Schwartz, more about that. She's like, she just cut her off. And it was very like out of the blue, no explanation. Which, I mean, sorry, I just hiccuped. Which I get it. You don't, like, you know these two are close friends. And then she just stops talking to her. That's weird behavior. And then Jax is like, oh, sorry, Schwartz says Joe and Kristen sent, or, oh, sorry, I'm really messing this up. Schwartz says that Joe said that Kristen sent her some really mean texts. Schwartz is like, I never saw the texts. And then Sandoval's like, oh, I saw them. They were really bad. Of course he's going to say that because he just needs to villainize women. And even if they were bad, like what were Joe's texts? Like, what's the context? Jack says, you know, maybe Katie just wouldn't like any new girl because it's your ex-wife and that's pretty normal. And Schwartz says, no, she just always didn't like Joe. Which, see, it's not just because of this. Just to simplify it, she just saw that Joe is kind of an asshole and is not a girl's girl, which, fair. Okay, so Sandoval goes back to the same argument that he was doing last season when he was defending Schwartz, kissing Rachel. I cannot believe he's singing this tune again, but here we are. Again, this man does not learn. He is just not redeemable in any sense. And, you know, Schwartz says maybe for a little bit there, it was kind of like there was a little bit of a double standard with Katie in the sense that, like, you know, she could go and fall in love and he couldn't. But then, and Sandoval looks kind of upset at this and says, well, I feel like that went on for a while. And even though Schwartz was like, for a little bit, like, it's like, see, Katie was so right. Like, Sandoval just really, it's like if there's a little flame of like animosity or whatever between Katie and Schwartz, he keeps trying to make it bigger, right? Like he just keeps dripping more gasoline on it, right? Just with these little comments. Like that went on for a while. Like Schwartz didn't, let Schwartz speak for himself. He knows his relationship. You do not know the intricacies and the ins and outs of it. So then, and then Schwartz says, she was good about Katie Flutty. And I was like, thank you. And he's like, you know, she was even like, oh, Katie, eh? She's beautiful, etc. And then Schwartz says, yeah, that's like subsided. Now, like the whole, like maybe her not liking someone I've dated, that seems to have subsided. And Sandoval's like, it probably has. Like he has to throw in the probably. I mean, it seems like the only person that Schwartz dated that Katie didn't like was Joe. And yes, like I'm not putting Rachel in that category because he didn't date Rachel. It was bullshit. That's what Katie was mad about, is Katie knew it was like a storyline thing. Like maybe she was worried on some level it might become something, but I don't know. She just didn't want the season to be about that because she was still dealing with the hurt of the divorce. So Sandoval can suck it. Okay. So Schwartz says he knows he hurt her feelings, but he's like, you know, she didn't have to burn my whole life down. This made me so mad. How did she burn your whole life down? All she did was get mad at you and stop with the friendship, like going for lunch, which is completely fair. That's all she did. Your whole life did burn down. It was because of two people named Tom Sandoval and Rachel Levis. That's why your life burned down and literally no one else. Oh, well, actually, and you for the choices that you made. So Sandoval says the day Schwartz and Sandy's open, Katie was sending him a barrage of negative texts. And he's like, who would do that? Like, can you imagine? And if you sent like a bunch of mean texts like the day that something about her was opening, and Schwartz is like, I would never do that. And I'm like, yeah, can you imagine? It would just be like, it would be like fucking someone's friend on the day that they were at their grandma's funeral. Like, who does that? These guys are so annoying. Okay. So then we talk about people being mad at Sheena. And by people, I mean us in the audience. So Sheena, they ask her, you know, why people get so mad at Sheena, like when she takes a picture with Sandoval, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Which I'm not going to explain to you all the answer to that because we all know. Sheena says it's because she's an easy target and people just don't like her, which she's not wrong. Like she's... But I also think that when she makes the right choices, people do have a soft spot for her. Like when she was making the right choices and sort of, you know, put her tail between her legs, like after the affair came out and, you know, she punched Rachel or whatever. Like we were all on her side with that. Like if she was saying it didn't happen, we were all believing her. Or even if we didn't believe her, we were like, oh, even if she did it, who cares? You know, Rachel deserved it. A lot of people were saying, I'm sorry if you disagree. A lot of people were saying that it was out there. Nobody wanted Sheena to face legal repercussions. Like everybody was on Sheena's side. People loved her in the van and all her reactions to the reunion. Like she was doing good. Right. So like, cause she can be endearing because she's just kind of so like in her own planet, right? So she can be endearing. But the problem is that she usually is on the wrong side and takes the wrong side, right? And she is such a male sympathizer. But when we saw her not doing that, being a good friend to Ariana, finally, like, you know, realizing her mistake with Katie and Schwartz and apologizing for that, like, people were willing. So it's just like, it drives me crazy because Sheena is just here still trying to just kind of like blame other people for why she's getting hate. It's really her own fault. And Lala says, and I actually agree with Lala for once, but Lala says it's also because Sheena over explains herself, which is true. Sheena cannot keep her goddamn mouth shut. She is on that podcast. She's on social media. She never stops over explaining everything. She creates a new headline every 5 minutes, like, and then she'll add things to her explanations that just make it worse. Like, she's not, I don't know if she thinks she's well-spoken, but she's not. So, I mean, Lala does this too recently, especially. Sheena says she's, you know, easily misunderstood. Okay, if you're easily misunderstood, that means that you are not communicating well. It's not everyone else's fault. Okay. If you misspeak, that's on you. Okay. I understand sometimes something can be misunderstood. That can happen. It can be misunderstood, taken out of context, but this is happening to you all the time. And I don't think it's that your others are misunderstanding. It's that you are saying stupid things. Okay. You know, and then Lala's like, you shouldn't have explained so much about BravoCon. You should have just been like, I wanted to go to the party. So that's what I was doing. So everybody can fuck off. Sheena says she feels that she did do that. And then they showed a clip from her answer, which it was kind of like that. Like she did say, well, they had a party. There was 30 people there. I wanted to keep partying and whatever. Like, but, you know, then she does add a little at the end. But anyways. Then James cuts in and kind of says, like, he just wouldn't have gone to Sandoval's penthouse party because he's like, you know, it's just transparent. And the only reason Sandoval does this is for himself. It's all about him. He's just trying to make himself look cool. And like, he has all these friends. He does it for his own ego 100% because he wants to feel liked. And James is like, if I had gone, I wouldn't have had a good time. He's like, but I'm not judging like your reasons to Sheena. And then Sheena's like, well, I didn't go for him. There were 30, and here she goes into the over explaining. She's like, there were 30 other people there. And then and then she goes into this whole explanation about how she pulled him aside to tell him to shut the fuck up and to stop making excuses and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, but no one asks me. They just blast me and blah, blah, blah. Well, people did. You did tell everyone that you took him aside to blast him. But here's the problem. No one believes you. And even if you did, it's like, who cares? It's you're making more of a statement by not going. But also, I don't think that she did that at the party. I really don't. If anything, she would just, it would be like she's giving him friendly advice. Like, just so you know, things are just going to keep getting worse. So it would probably be better if you like pretend you're sorry. Like it was probably that kind of thing. Like she's giving him advice 100%. And we all know that. And then she's like, you know, I was totally put on the spot during BravoCon with that question. Then they flash back to Ariana and Katie. And Ariana says, please just don't like mention my name to him and act like you were going to his party to like defend my honor. And yes, exactly. Because now you're putting it back on Ariana. Like, oh, well, don't get mad at me, guys, for going to the party. I had to do it because I had to like put Sandoval in his place for Ariana. Ariana doesn't care to speak to him or correct him, or like he's not her problem anymore. That's the good thing about the breakup, right? So don't put that on her. So she's like, don't act like you're like defending my honor. She's like, you know, there's no love lost between us, but don't act like I'm making up all these rules and instructions of like things that you have to do. Exactly. Exactly. Ariana says it also means if you're doing that, you're having a conversation about her to Sandoval. And she just doesn't want that. She doesn't want like her to be spoken about to him because then, you know, he starts like just manipulating things. Like he is saying that, oh, like people who used to be friends with him don't even want to anymore because they're part of like a movement, like I guess like the Ariana movement, I don't even know, or something. And she's like, that's not coming from me. Like I'm not like forcing mutual friends to choose me or whatever. Katie says it's all lies. He sucks. And basically people don't want to be friends with him and he has to deal with the fact that he's the problem. Exactly. Lala says Ariana knows you have pure intentions. And Sheena's like, yeah, well, it would be nice if she would say it more. She's like, it's just frustrating because a lot of the hate would stop. Okay. No, it wouldn't, Sheena. Just if that makes Sheena feel any better, it wouldn't. People are still gonna, again, it's you. Sheena can say things till the cows come home. Like she, here's another example of actions over words. Sheena all season is like, I'm not friends with Tom Sandoval. I don't want to be friends with Ari. I'm loyal to Ariana. But the audience is still mad at her. Why? Because her actions are the opposite, right? Like that's the problem. So then she makes this comment and says, she's like, well, Ariana just, you know, right now she's just worrying about herself and, you know, she's just thinking about herself right now. And that's fine, I guess. Okay. Sheena went to the Carl Radke passive aggressive school. So Lala says Ariana has always been like this. And Sheena's like, yeah, it's like I have to be 100% loyal, even though she hasn't always been. I think she has. Because you've been a complete, like, I don't even know, like a dumbass. And you've been wrong in most situations. And Ariana has embarrassingly stood by you. So Ariana and Katie start, say, you know, just start making choices and decisions based on what you authentically want and think. And Katie says, you know, she asked Sheena kind of after all this, like about always being on the wrong side of history. And Sheena said, you know, yes, I've reflected. I've learned so much. You know, and then Katie's like, just live your life, like do what you want, but don't get upset when people have an opinion about it. Exactly. Like the thing is, Sheena is so affected by everyone's opinions. And I think that's the thing that is, it's almost so bad. It's like she cares so much that she just tries too hard. And she's not good at, she's just not good at it. it just comes off inauthentic. And the, and we all see what she's doing. Like, we're like, Sheena, like, we know, we see what you're doing. We know you want to be friends with him again. We know you always want to sympathize with guys. We also know you want to, like, do with the producer. Like, we know. Like, we know you and Lala, like, kind of teamed up. We know you're jealous of Ariana and that you kind of wanted to villainize her a little bit. Like, it's so obvious. So, okay, let's go to Lala and Katie's safe word. So this is actually the last topic for this after show. Because again, it's not a real, like, they're not actually reacting to the reunion. They talk about the safe word being croissant between Lala and Katie. And Katie says they haven't had to use the safe word. And again, this is before the reunion was recorded. So keep in mind that a lot of these answers are probably different now. Katie says they haven't had to use the safe word. They've gotten to a better place. They can, like, you know, they have to actively try to make time for each other. And basically she says it's hard when you're in different stages in life. And so I'm assuming she means, like, Lala's, you know, has a kid or whatever, another kid coming. Obviously Katie is, you know, single, doesn't have kids, is, like, just in a different phase of life, right? And she says sometimes Lala is like, I don't need friends. You know, I've got, like, my mom, my baby, my brother, whereas Katie's in a phase where she needs, like, active friends. So, you know, she's, like, looking for friends who are going to be, like, reaching out and, like, doing stuff. And listen, neither of them are wrong. That's the thing, is sometimes you just, like, I know this as someone, you know, with a kid. Like, I know that my friends who don't have kids, you do, especially in the early years, like, where when your kids are, like, super young, it's just like they're so dependent on you and they're so, like, high maintenance and needs. It's like you become consumed by it and there's no way around it almost. So it's especially for moms a lot of the time. And it's like, it can be hard maintaining friendships with people who are just not in that world because they're just doing different things and life is just different for them, right? And it's, you know, it can't, that's why sometimes they say, like, motherhood can be really isolating, et cetera, and you need other friends who are in it so they get it. And I think that's just a reality. That doesn't make anyone bad or anything like that. It just means you're just in a different phase. Like, Lala probably, like, doesn't want to, like she says, she doesn't want to go to clubs and bars as much, whatever. And Katie's like, I'm single, I have nothing to do tonight. I want to go out. Like, Katie's like, remember she made that joke how she's like, I'm always available, right? Like, Katie's like, I want to go out, like, I want to socialize, I want whatever, right? It's just a different life, you know? So it's one of those things, but that doesn't mean that you can't maintain friendships, but it does mean you have to work harder at them and you have to want it. I don't think these two maybe want it as much as they think they do. I think if it wasn't for the show, you know, it might have been dead already, the friendship. But, you know, Lala says she felt good about the conversation they had and that she loves Katie. But, you know, she's like, we can both go low and we need to watch out because one day we might say something we can't come back from. Well, I think that happened at the reunion. I mean, you never know. You never know with these casts. All right, everyone. We are coming to the end here. I know that was a bit of a shorter one. However, if you are jonesing for more Vanderpump Rules content, you will not have to wait much longer because Monday morning, my news episode will be out and there is a ton of Vanderpump Rules news as usual. I think there's even more this week than there usually is. Because these people never stop going on podcasts and talking. So there's a lot going on. Okay, so you are now in the know for everything Vanderpump Rules. I will see you next week for the finale reunion part 3. And that is going to be an intense one. And I promise, unlike part 2, which was such a fluffy filler, I can just tell from the previews and them watching that ending and all that kind of stuff. Next week's definitely going to be a more intense one and I'm going to have much more thoughts. All right. See you all next time. Bye. Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me, and this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/bravoandbotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/bravoandbotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.